But it's my turn to get off the stage. And that's my own downline right there doing that, man. We'll be having a talk later. We'll be having. And turn the time over to someone who makes far more money than I do. Let's all give it up again for Mr. Mark Brown.
Y'all hold on just a second, okay? I am with Mr. Stonecipher a lot of the time, fortunately, because I get to work with him, and I'm going to do the introduction and so forth in just a minute, but I want to do something. I do this quite a bit when I'm on the road, and especially in this situation where I am certainly not replacing Mr. Stonecipher, but I was honored to be able to ask to come and get to see you folks. But I always send or take pictures back. Now, I would send this by email today, but we can't email. So I'm going to take a couple pictures of you guys. So if you guys, I know he can't hear this, but if you would all wave, I'm going to send these pictures back to him and just keep doing this. I'm going to get everybody I can because he loves to see the events, okay? So, I took some pictures last night at the reception at Dave's house, and I will give him all these pictures as soon as I get to Ada this next week. And he will love to see it because he, as I told Dave last night, you know, I sat across from him. Now, here's a man, okay? Let me just tell you. He had back surgery about a week and a half ago. Monday, he was at the office. Monday morning, anybody hear the leadership call Monday morning? He was right there in the room with us. I thought that was incredible. He had back surgery. I broke a finger. He was there. Now, he went home about noon because, you know, you tire out, right? Tuesday, he was there because I was there Monday and Tuesday. He was there, sat across from him in his big desk in his office, and he was very emotional about not coming to see you folks today. So I wanted to kind of relate that firsthand. He did not take it lightly. He couldn't be here. And to me, in the little talk or stories I have for you today, it's about that belief, that passion, that integrity that he has that I believe permeates this whole company. Would you all agree? And I know some of you are guests, maybe new to the business. You don't know Mr. Stonecipher from Adam. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the history of our company, just a little bit of his story to kind of bring people up to speed. But I just wanted to tell you, man, he doesn't take this lightly. He wanted to be here, and he looked me in the eyes, and he says, "You tell Dave Hall, the minute I can get there, I will be there for the great people of Utah." So from the founder, CEO, founder of an industry, a lot of folks in that position, very wealthy man, owns 1 million shares of stock. Stock's trading at $50. What does that tell you? Not to mention the money he's made over the years and all. You know, he doesn't have to come here. He doesn't have to be anywhere. He doesn't want to be. He would rather be here today than anywhere. So that I wanted to tell you that. I want everybody to understand that. And our great law firm, Smart, Schofield, Shorter, and Lunsford, Randy Shorter, I'm sorry, Jeff Shorter, Randy Smart, I've worked with these folks. No better people in the world, and I want to talk about that in just a few minutes. What I want to do, though, and I talked to Mr. Stonecipher about the visit I was going to have with you folks today. And again, he took it very seriously, and he gave me some things he wanted me to articulate to you, and then he recorded a video for you folks special, okay? That as soon as I'm off of here, we're going to spool up that video and play that for you, and I think you'll really enjoy that. So that, again, gives you kind of the idea that he's committed to you folks, all right? But what I want to tell you, I'm going to start kind of the prepaid legal story just from my own perspective, just because every one of us that has been in the business any time at all, I don't know, 6 months, a year, 2 years, three, we've all got our stories, right? We came from certain backgrounds. We had certain fears and worries and concerns, and, you know, the world kind of beats us up. Would you agree? I've got my own story just like everybody else does. I want to tell you that a little bit because what Harlan Stonesaver was here today, he would talk to you about the product, the service, this great access to the legal system. And I want to tell you, and for some of you that were at the meeting last night, it'll be a little bit redundant, but I want to tell everybody the story because I want to weave a little bit of prepaid legal history in with this and then also talk to you about why we have the best opportunity in the world and kind of break down the different facets of our prepaid legal business from a corporate standpoint and opportunity standpoint, see if it doesn't make sense to you. I started my prepaid legal business in the early part of 1995. I was, as I told everybody last night, and as Tony referred to in his very well-done opportunity meeting earlier in the day, you know, I was a skeptical guy. I'm sure you were skeptical, right, Tony? I mean, I heard what you said up here. You know, I was in the printing business for 18 years prior to this, had a printing business in the mid-cities of Fort Worth and then in West Fort Worth, and it was a family business, and probably a lot of former or present business owners in the room. Business is very tough, but that's the American dream, isn't it? To work for yourself somehow, to have your own business, to do your own thing. My father was kind of an entrepreneurial guy. We had a printing business, and we did very well with it for a number of years. Started in 1978. But competition and technology kind of killed us. Because if you think back, you know, every industry has its problems. My problem was there was no Kinko's in 1978. No Office Max, Office Depot, all those different. In 1989, 1990, 1991, 19, everything changed. There was no laser printer, no desktop publishing in 1978. All of a sudden, all this changed. Our business was changing dramatically. In a small business, I always tell people when I talk about our product, whether it's a small business plan, the membership, our family membership, whatever the case is, you know, I didn't become a small business owner to become a great bookkeeper. We had a certain talent for graphic arts and printing and so forth. I didn't become a small business owner to become a great debt collector. But that's what you have to be, right? You have to be all those things. And I just got worn out with it, man. Let me ask you all a question. How many here, and I'm afraid this thing is going to just fly off. How many here have ever dreaded Monday morning? Seriously. How many here have ever dreaded Monday morning? You know, in 1993, 1994, my father passed away in 1994, unfortunately, and I was ready to get out of, I was ready to change careers. We've probably all been that way at some point in our life, would y'all agree? All been that way. Harlan Stonesaver was that way, and I'm going to tell you his story. But I was ready to change something, man. My father passed away, I couldn't stand to go there anymore. And my wife and I, we kind of jokingly called it a scheming and dreaming trip. We tried desperately to find something else to do in those years. And we couldn't find anything because on my list, on my little legal pad that my wife and I made kind of our wishes, our dreams, you know, what would we want? I didn't want to go to work for somebody. I hadn't worked for somebody in almost 20 years. I wanted another business. But I truly wrote this down. We didn't want any inventory, any overhead, or any personnel. That was the things that I wanted out of a new business. If I could find a business without inventory, overhead, and personnel, man, that would be fabulous. And there's got to be something out there that we could do. Well, we couldn't find anything. We went to job fairs, entrepreneurial shows, franchise shows, you name it. We could not find anything. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to have to get a job because I don't have the money to start another business. I don't want to go into the world that I'm in now. I don't know what to do. And a guy called me, a printing customer called me February 17th, 1995. I'll never forget it. It's like a videotape in my brain. He called me on the phone at my print shop. And he said, Mark, I'm going to change your life. And I said, Dick, not again. That's his exact words. Because he had told me that a whole lot of times. Because as Tony talked about earlier, you know, there's a lot of deals out there, man. And I'm not here to put down anybody's opportunity. But I was hit so many times by so many people that tried to recruit me because they would come and get me to do their printing and then they would try to recruit me. And what I didn't like about what they did, number one, none of them were ever in those businesses very long. Because they'd be approaching me again a few months or a few weeks or a year later and with another deal, and it was always better and different. And I was like, what happened to the last one? Well, this one's better. You know, or the AG shut it down, or the local authority shut it down. You know, the first event I went to at Prepaid Legal was a national convention in March of 1995, and the Attorney General of the state was at that event. And I knew enough about network marketing to know if the AG was at your event, it usually was not a good thing. Because I had just done a lot of printing for a company called Gold Unlimited that had just gone out of business because the AG shut them down. So we went on this due diligence trip. We tried to find something. Dick Kelly calls me. He's going to change my life. And I said, man, I don't want to hear that junk again. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the front-end load. You got to buy a trunk full, garage full, a warehouse full of something you don't need that you can get cheaper at Walmart, Target, Kmart, Eckerd, health food store. You're basically laundering money among friends. It's not a business to me. So I, you know, I told him all that again because I told him 100 times. And he said, man, you just got to listen to me for 2 minutes. I will promise not to even attempt to recruit you, but you've at least got to look at the product this company has. And he said, the company is called Prepaid Legal Services. Have you ever heard of it? And I said, no, and I don't like it already. Because I don't want to prepay anything, and I don't like lawyers. And it's nothing personal against lawyers. I just knew if I had to use the word lawyer in a sentence, I was in trouble. Right? I tried to keep it out of my vocabulary as much as I could. Same thing with, you know, hey, man, none of us want to go to the dentist, right? Because what do you think when you hear the word dentist? And that's no shame to a dentist. They do great work, but, you know, it's not something you like to talk about, right? How about IRS? If you use the word IRS in a sentence, you probably got a problem, right? I got a letter from the IRS. The IRS called me. Something happened. I didn't like that. Prepaid legal. I don't want to prepay anything. Are you crazy? I can't pay anything now. How can I prepay anything? And he said, man, you just got to listen to what this company does. And he went about explaining the membership to me. He said, something you and I have always dreamed about, having access to the legal system. You and I try to, because he had a traditional business along with his multi-level endeavors. And he said, you know, you and I try to keep invisible in business because we're afraid of the exposure, yet we're trying to market ourselves. And the reason we do that is because we're scared of the system. We're locked out. He said, this company, and back in 1995, was a 23-year-old company. It was traded on the Amex back then. American Stock Exchange. We've been on the NYSE since May of 99. He said, this company's been around for 23 years. They got these great attorneys. They access, they $25 a month. He told me the whole story. And, man, I was taught some phrases in my life. And y'all could probably finish this phrase. I was taught this from my father. If it, I didn't even have to say it, right? I mean, if it sounds too good to be true, man, it's too good to be true. Run. Don't walk, run away if it sounded too good to be true. And a true story, here's what I thought when he was telling me the story about the membership, and it's $25 a month and covers your family, much like what Tony did earlier. And I knew enough about dealing with the legal system, the law firm that my father would use every once in a while in downtown Fort Worth in the oil and gas building. If you stayed there too long, it cost more than $25 to park there. What is any self-respecting lawyer going to do for $25 a month? I can't even park at their offices for that. You know, it didn't make any sense. They went to law school. They paid for their college education. They passed the bar exam, took the oath, did the whole thing, and they're going to do something for me for $25. I know. I watched Perry Mason. That doesn't work, man. Those are $600 an hour lawyers. You know, Boston Legal, $1,000 an hour. Some of those, you know. But the more he talked, the more I started thinking. You know, if there was something like that that worked, that I could just pick up the phone and call, man, what a concept that would be. And I was thinking about this as he was talking, and he made a statement that made a difference to me. Because our role as a consumer is to object, right? And that's what we do for a living as consumers, is we object, because we can't afford not to object. Would you agree? Because if not, I was telling the folks last night, if not, you will come home with a magic bullet or a ShamWow, or you'll buy something, right? Because it all looks good. And we got to have our force shield up. We got to object. So I was objecting. And he finally goes, look, man, because I was talking about, man, this has got to be a scam. There's nobody can do this. And he goes, look, man, it's hard to have an illegal legal plan. And that made sense to me. For some reason, that made sense to me. So these folks have been to law school. They've done the whole thing. A lot of them are AV rated, according to Martin Del Hubble. They've been doing this for years. This is a good thing. And so I finally bought the membership that day. My story is to tell you really what happened next, because that's the key thing. So I bought the membership. I was a little skeptical. In fact, the reason I bought the membership is as he was talking, I was thinking about a problem I had ongoing with a copier company. And I always had a problem with a copier company because I had a lot of copy machines, but had a big problem with a big copier company. They billed me for thousands, man, that I didn't know. And how many here have ever gone to bed with a problem on your mind and couldn't go to sleep? We all have done that, right? I was losing sleep. I was worried. I was unproductive, which gives me a chance to give you my little phrase that I use in prepaid legal for people all the time. This is something that I've thought of from day one, and I've used it for years. Here's what the prepaid legal life is to me. It's let the experts do what they do best so you can go back and do what you do best. And I'll tell you why I thought about that in just a minute. Let the experts do what they do best so you can go do what you do best. So I was unproductive with this problem. I was worried about it. I called the law firm Monday morning, got a temporary little membership card, called the law firm. I actually felt silly calling them, because I just knew it wasn't going to work. It was maybe candid camera or something. I didn't know. Because it was so out of character for how I usually had, you could handle things. I called the law firm. They talked to me a minute. They asked me what the situation was. I gave them kind of an overview of it. They said, we'll have somebody call you back within the hour. Gentleman called me back, visited with me about my problem for about 40, 45 minutes. And said he was going to write a letter for me, had me fax over a document I had signed, reviewed it, called me back, said, we're going to write this letter. I'm going to see what happens. And he talked to me about the situation. He just made me feel better. So I hung up. And about a week later, I got a response back from the lawyers. And by the way, they sent me a copy of the letter that they sent to this copier company. And about a week later, I got a call from the lawyer, Ross and Matthews in Fort Worth, Texas. They said, we have good news for you. The situation has been resolved. We've got a letter from this company. They've exonerated you of all charges. Plus, they're going to give you a refund of $250. And I hadn't paid them anything, so I thought that was extra good. All right? Because I hadn't paid this bill. And the point was they handled the problem for me, okay? Now, that's good, but that's not why I really tell you the story. Here's what made me do this business. So I started thinking about that day. And I started, and I came up with a new word. I had an epiphanetic experience that day. As I started thinking about some things that happened. Number one, what happened to me, as soon as I called and visited with and kind of unburdened myself that lawyer that day, that night I got a good night's sleep. Because I had done something proactive. I had gone on the offense. I was scared to death, and now all of a sudden talking to this guy, I didn't know what the outcome was going to be, but I did something, man. I slept better that night. And you know what? I got to thinking, that whole week in between the time I called the law firm and the time I got the information back, I didn't think about that problem again. I went back and started being productive again. Does that make sense? I thought, because see what I'm trying to tell you here today, that was not a magic letter that the lawyer sent on my behalf. Not a magic letter. Not a magic law firm. Any lawyer could have sent that letter, I'm sure. It's just that I couldn't get to the lawyer to send it. Could not afford to get to the lawyer to send it. Didn't know who to go to send it. Because in the real world, when I finally had to deal with that problem, if I'd have done it, and most lawyers will always tell you the biggest problem they have dealing with people is people come to them the day before they're doing court needing help. Because they don't know who to go to. My brother-in-law has been a lawyer for 32 years. I wouldn't take anything to him. Not because he's not proficient, but because I'm afraid he'll tell my mother-in-law. And I'm not, you think I'm joking, I'm not. Because he's handled things for other members of our family. My wife always knows the deal. Now, you might say there's attorney-client privilege, and there is, but not in families. I don't care what you say. So, number one, and number two, though, the even more serious reason, he's never been in the right specialty. He gave us a kind of a list of things he didn't do early on years ago. I don't do family law. I don't do anything criminal. I don't do traffic. By the time he got through telling us what he didn't do, I don't have a clue today what he does. Not actually trying to be funny about it. I really couldn't tell you what Frank does. Point is, I had a relative that's a lawyer. I still didn't know who to go to. So lawyers always tell you that, man. If people would just come and just talk with us, don't wait till the last day. So I was thinking about all this. Didn't think about that problem again for that whole week. And if I'd have gone to the real world, I would have taken a check out of the checkbook. I'd have thrown a dart at the Yellow Pages. I'd have run all over town talking to people, trying to find out what to do. I'd have been unproductive, out of my business for a week probably, and still not knowing the outcome. I sat there. The magic was I sat there from the comfort of my office and got that problem handled. And it changed my life. And from that, I'm just going to give you a quick idea of how I started my business. Because I was, again, I was a skeptic, man. And somehow I think being in business for a long time makes you a little skeptical, because people do try to get to you sometimes. And you have to really be on the watch. And I started my business actually before I was an associate. I wasn't trying to start a business. In fact, I had no interest in starting a prepaid legal business. But the next 3 weeks or so, 2.5, 3 weeks, I went out. Every human I came in contact with, I told that story to. A very short version. If you ever heard of prepaid legal, there's, it'd give you access, wrote a letter, da-da-da-da, told them. I was just excited and passionate about it. Because, you know, don't y'all do that when you find something good in your life? I mean, it's just human nature, I think. I wasn't trying to sell it to them, wasn't trying to talk them into anything. Well, I didn't care, you know, I didn't know where prepaid was. I didn't send the membership in. Somebody else did. I told every living, breathing soul about this deal except one, and that was my wife. I didn't tell her about it. Because back then I kind of compartmentalized things in business, and one day my wife calls me about 2.5 weeks into this endeavor, and I wasn't even thinking about it. She called me. I could tell she was irritated. She says, "What in the world is prepaid legal?" And I realized I hadn't told her about the whole, and I said, "Well," I told her the story, and she says, "Well, you got two choices. You either shut up about it or learn more about it, because they're driving me crazy." Because what was happening, I was telling some people that both of us knew. I told everybody, man, relatives, friends, neighbors, everybody but her. They started calling her, asking her what prepaid legal was, how you get it, more information, more details. She didn't even know what it was. She was irritated at me. So that night, we had a family meeting. And we sat down and talked about it. Because she knew I was dying in the business I was in. I was just done with it. And she said, "You are doing such a fabulous job talking about whatever this is. Is there a business opportunity? I mean, can you do something with it? Is there a way to make money? Maybe it..." I said, "No, and it's crazy Dick Kelly that told me about it. I can't, you know, he's a multi-level marketing junkie. I don't go that way. And she said, "Well, check it out. You love the product." In fact, by that time, I'd used it a couple more times. So I took a trip to Ada, Oklahoma, folks, to the home office, which is not the home office we have today. It was at 321 East Main, and it was not an impressive-looking building. Anybody go to the old office here in the room? Now, I'm not putting it down, but when I went there, I pulled up, actually, Dave Savola. Everybody know who Dave is, pretty much? Well, Dave, in his presentation, always calls it the biggest dance in town. Well, I thought if I showed up there, there would be some neon glowing prepaid legal building or something, and I couldn't find prepaid legal. Biggest dance in town, I couldn't find it. I ended up at the college thinking that's the biggest dance. I finally found it. They said, "Where's prepaid legal?" He says, "Cross from the donut shop." So I pulled up at 321 East Main. It looked like there was a hitching post in front, and it had a wood shop sign that somebody looked like a router had prepaid legal services. And I went up there with a friend of mine, and we peered in the window, and it was the night before. And I looked inside, and then I came back, and I said, man, we can be back in Dallas in 2.5 hours. This doesn't look like the biggest dance to me. But went back the next day because I loved their membership, took the tour, and hey, that was a 40,000-square-foot office building. It was far better than I thought. Took the tour, loved it. But I still had a skepticism in my brain. I had to get out. I'm going to tell you what I did. So as the tour wound up, and I had met all the managers, and man, everybody was sparkling and great, and they had Letterman sweaters on. They were all thrilled to be prepaid legal employees, and it was just a great place, a great atmosphere. So in coming to the end of the tour, I told the lady that took me on the tour, I said, you know, I really like the membership, I like the company, I like what I've seen, I think I want to affiliate with you folks. And she said, that's great. And I said, what I'd like to do, I brought a check with me, I'd like to buy 200 prepaid legal memberships and take them home with me. And because I wanted to test them, man. And she said, well, she just kind of looked at me. I call it the RCA dog look. You know, she just kind of looked at me. And she said, you can only own one membership. In fact, sir, I believe you already own the membership. That's all you can own. You can only own one. You can only sell one for family, for member, whatever. She said, I can give you some membership applications. Be happy to do that. They're free, by the way. And that's what I wanted to hear, folks, because I wanted to know you cannot get garage qualified with prepaid legal. You know, that made a big deal. That was a big deal for me. I wanted to know that it was a product-driven business, and it was. And I became an associate and started my career in prepaid legal services, and it's just been a great thing. I've been here almost 15 years, 14 and a half. I always get the math wrong. I became an associate the first part of March 1995, and it's just been a great business because I love the product. I always tell people, man, if you can fall in love with the product, man, there is an entrepreneurial business here next to none because everybody needs what we have. Now, I want to talk to you just a little bit about the history of prepaid. I want you to think about it just a minute in thinking about Mr. Stonecipher, who would have been here today if he possibly could. Tony talked about the wreck he had. I was going with him last year to Oklahoma City. We were doing some presentations. And the airport, NATO, was having some construction done on the runways. And so I drove him up to Oklahoma on two or three different occasions in his car. And he took me by the crash site, the wreck site, okay, which I thought was, now to me, that was just astounding. I didn't even know he was going to do that. He said, as we got close, he said, hey, pull over here. I'll show you, and he showed me exactly the little intersection. The building that was there was gone now, but he just showed me the whole thing, and I learned a little bit more about the story. The reason the lady sued him, okay? Because, it's kind of like if you ever start at Dave, and you tell Dave something, and as he passes it down, it becomes a little different. It's just, it's just people maybe not hearing well or whatever. He told me the story because when I first got in the business, I heard everything from he had died to the other driver died, that, all kinds of weird things. A lady pulled out from a side road and just smacked him, hit him. And it was her fault. She got the ticket. He was an insurance salesman at the time. He had been a school teacher. He was doing insurance. He was selling life and health and all those things. He was going to an insurance appointment. And this lady pulled out and hit him. It was a bad wreck. She got hurt pretty bad. So did he. As you saw in the picture of the accident. And he was telling me about the lawyer that came to talk to him, and he said the reason that she could even reasonably file this lawsuit was that he had had some speeding tickets in his driving record, some moving violations, and somehow they were trying to prove he was a reckless driver. Now, I've heard all kinds of things. He had DWIs. He had some speeding tickets, okay? So that's why the other drivers, does that make sense? That's why the other driver sued him. So in his getting better from this accident, he started thinking about, I'm selling insurance to people for all kinds of things, life, health, cancer, accident, all these things. Why isn't there something to help? Because he felt really alone and just didn't have the money to handle this lawsuit situation. It was just an extra burden. And he said there's got to be some way that people can get help in those situations. So when he started the company, he started it with just traffic coverage, okay? Just traffic coverage, because that's what had happened to him. And when he started it, they wouldn't even let him call it prepaid legal services. It was actually called at the very beginning the Sportsman's Motor Club, because that's how he had to kind of the umbrella under which he put his business. Now, a couple years later, they allowed him to incorporate his prepaid legal services, called it Sportsman's Motor Club right away, and it started with traffic. And it started as an employee benefit deal, where he would go out and then he hired an agent or two, and they'd go out and sell it. That's why school districts are one of our biggest employee benefit accounts this very day. That's what they started calling on. And then the product started taking on a life of its own because somebody came to him and said, you know, this traffic thing is great, but wouldn't it be fabulous to be able to also visit with these lawyers and ask them, you know, consult with them, ask them what my rights are, what should I do, how should I handle it? And eventually Title I was established. And that's how the other five titles, the other four titles, came into being in prepaid legal, was suggestions from the field, suggestions from lawyers and other people, and we added on and added on until we have the really comprehensive plan we have today. It's interesting, just a little side note. Shirley and him got together when they got the idea for the business, and they got a hold of some friends and relatives and neighbors and just people they knew from business in Ada. And they had a meeting at the Village Inn in Ada, Oklahoma, a little meeting room. And he wanted to sell stock in this idea of this company. And they had a full house, and everybody wrote him a check. And one person in particular, and I only mention her because I knew her very well, and she helped fill in this story for me, because one of the things that helped me in prepaid legal was knowing a little bit about the history. Because when I started, it was a 23-year-old company. But really, it had just gotten started in Texas again in 1995. And I couldn't figure out, been around 23 years, but just starting it, none of it really made a lot of sense right then. So the history of the company made sense to me, and the integrity of Harlan made sense once I heard the story. So he hired a lady, or the lady and her husband came to the shareholder meeting. Her name was Catherine Prentice. Later, she, in her next marriage, it was Catherine Walden, okay? Some of you, do y'all, any of you remember Catherine Walden at all? Great lady, but she started right there in the home office with three or four people as a secretary. And she told me their first building was just a two-room office, and if they had any extra people come in to visit, they had to go borrow chairs from the office next door. That's how prepaid started. But when they were doing the original shareholder little meeting, he took their checks, and he got disappointed by some of the lawyers and people he had talked to, and saw he couldn't pull it off right then, so he called the whole group back together and gave them their money back. And Catherine told me, she said, I said, Mr. Stonecipher, keep that check because I know you're going to do something with it. Just keep it. He said, no. If I can put this together, I'll come back to you, but I'm giving your check back. So he gave them all their money back, okay, every one of them. Didn't have to do that. Gave every one of them their money back. Went to them again. Just a little bit later, and he said, I've got it put together. They all gave him the money again. And now that's pretty trusting, wouldn't you agree? Gave him the money again, and that's how he put the business together. And then John Hale came along in the mid-80s and had some networking experience and said, man, you've got this great product. You do well with it. We need to get it more of a mass marketing type situation. They did extremely well. For those three and a half years in the 80s, they did so well that they ran out of money to pay advance commission with, and he had to turn off the faucet. Still paid them, but he had to turn off any future advances for a while, and so the sales force dwindled down. But here's the cool thing about this. Because the book of business was so good that from the early 70s on up to that period of time, by the early 90s, the book of business had paid off all the debt that prepaid had because they had to borrow money to pay commission back then. The book of business paid off the debt. Just people paying their membership premium. Why did they keep the membership? Because it worked. So the book of business paid off that debt. Simultaneously, Something else happened. 1987, prior to that, if Tony bought a membership from me, if I was in the business back then, I would tell Tony, in these benefits, Tony, you can go to the attorney of your choice. Because what prepaid legal did back then was kind of like an insurance company. They underwrote the product. They paid claims. But they found out that that didn't work on several levels. So in 1987, they went to the closed panel or provider lawyer system that we have today. Okay? Because he found out the other way didn't work. It sounded good, go to the attorney of your choice, but number one, he wasn't doing Tony any favors because Tony didn't know who to go to. That was the whole problem, right? Tony's now going to have to throw a dart at the yellow pages. And then, would those lawyers do what the membership said? Who knows? So he went to the closed panel system. He said, let's pay the provider law firms on a per capita, per member, per month basis, a portion of the membership premium each and every month, whether the member uses it or not. And it does two things. It makes Tony the largest client of this law firm, and he puts a vested interest from the lawyer's side in Tony, right? And that's the system we have today. So simultaneously, that happened. They refiled in the states that needed to be filed insurance-wise, and in the early 90s, started marketing again like we do today. And one of the first people that really started that and started the meetings and business across the country from a standpoint like we have today was Dave Cibola. He came in 1993 and started doing meetings all across the country, and the business started expanding. And it's pretty well where we are today. Since that time, we added the Legal Shield in 1999, and we've added ID theft. The Kroll folks came to us and said, man, we have built a service because our corporate clients, Kroll's not a marketing company, they have clients, and Kroll is made up of basically a fleet of fraud investigators. That's what they're specialized fraud investigators. They came to us basically in 02 and said, you know, everybody's going to come down with this disease called identity theft, and most of you haven't even heard of it, but our corporate clients got us to put it together because they needed help. They were starting to lose employees to ID theft. Because what would happen when an employee comes down with ID theft? They're not working so much anymore, right? When are you going to restore your ID? When are you going to work? When are you going to call? During business days, during the business hours, right? So Kroll would put their fraud investigators on it and restore it for them for a fee, and they put a service together, which is what they brought to us. They said, you've got all these great members and law firms, because most people that have ID theft problems need help legally, and man, if you bundle this together, it will be a powerful thing. So I, you know, and looking back on the history of prepaid legal, man, it has really fallen into place. Don't y'all agree?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so I hope that made sense. Did that make sense? Kind of a little of the kind of a thumbnail sketch of the history and why we're where we are today. And again, the only reason that everybody in the world does not have what we have is they just don't understand it. Right? They just don't understand it. And that's what our job is to help them understand it. Now, I want to talk a little bit about your company. And I can, you know, I give you some ideas about this because it's fascinating getting to work across from Harlan Stonecipher on a weekly basis, look him in the eyes. And I've got a story to conclude about that. But I want to talk about the company. Just integrity rich, man. Harlan does the right thing every time. I've watched it. And I'm a skeptic. But I've watched it. Just under $500 million in gross revenue last year. Pretty incredible financially. Strong company financially. I sit in the board meetings. I watch what other people do and say. It's an incredibly strong financial company, but an integrity-rich company. Paid out over $130 million in commission to associates last year. About the same to the provider law firms last year. Think about that. Now, just do simple math. If we paid out over $130 million to the associates last year, and we did about just a little under $500 million in gross revenue, when we go in the very near future to $1 billion, what will that do to what we pay out to associates? Pretty close to double it. I mean, I'm not a math wizard, but I'm thinking if we're paying out about $130 now and we do double the gross revenue, that will probably increase what we pay to the associates. Would you agree? So how would you like to be a part of a 200 and $60 to $300 million associate commission payout next year or the year after. And the best thing about it is the member is the biggest winner. That's what's so cool about what we do, about our company. The member is the biggest winner. Not that way with other products. Would you agree? Sometimes they are, but in ours, every time, if they just make the call. So, great company. Now, let me just give you some things about the company. The staff that I get to work with on a daily basis. Randy Hart, been there 18 years. Chief Operating Officer. Kathy Pinson, Regulatory Compliance. We call her the Oracle. Lovingly. Because, she is a bright lady and really handles licensing and regulatory compliance and all those things almost 30 years. Melanie Lawson, 29 years. We joke she must have been born on the steps of prepaid legal. She's the retention officer of the company. Vicki Mapp, IT, 34 years. Wilburn Smith, 30 years. I just think that's incredible. That's just a handful of the people that are at the nerve center of the business. So just a fabulous staff. The opportunity. I think we have the best entrepreneurial opportunity in the world. And let me tell you why. And I'm going to talk about commission in just a second. Let me tell you why, just from my perspective, okay? And you might believe this, you might not. You can think about it. But I'm a product of my environment, the things I've learned and came from in business and whatnot. And here's how my business worked in the printing business. And see if y'all understand why I say this is the perfect entrepreneurial opportunity. In the printing business, I had to hire people, right? Have to have people work for you. My father and I used to joke rather sadistically amongst ourselves that we're really not in the printing business. We're really in the future print shop owner training business. Because as soon as I would hire and we would train and work people and give them everything we had, because that's how you get people to be successful, is really go with them, right? Really, really help them. The minute they, you know, found out they had a talent, liked it, were good at it, here's the first thing they would do. They would quit, try to take our customers and open their own printing business. And man, I used to despise those people for that, because we had to start all over again. But here's what I found out when I started my prepaid legal business and started working with other people and helping them get in the business. And by the way, that original group that I exposed before I was even an associate, before I wasn't trying to sell them anything, the majority of those folks came in the business with me, and they're the nucleus of my business to this very day. And I've always kind of gone by that. You know, I don't have to sell you, man. Just transfer my belief to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But here's the deal. So these people would quit, and there's people in the printing business in Dallas, Texas today that we trained. Okay? So when I started my prepaid legal business, and I started to get people in the business and work with them, and man, we had a great time. And it's kind of like Tony and the gentleman you recruited that did really well was Lane. Yeah, you're having a good time, right? I mean, having a fabulous time. So I saw that, and it finally dawned on me. What those people did to me all those years in the printing business, they weren't evil people. You know what they were? Just entrepreneurs. Because, folks, that's how you start business in this country, isn't it? You go to work for somebody, you learn something, you find out you like it. You go, hey, I can do that better. I can do that for myself. And you start your own business, right? That's where business comes from in this country. So here's my thought to you. Here's what I found out. What all those people did to me all those years in the printing business, that's what I want them to do to me in the prepaid legal business. Does that make sense? That's what I want them to do to me. Because we live in a country that has a just a wonderful entrepreneurial spirit. And that's why transferring that belief about the product, and the product is king, man. And the opportunity, because you know what? You make a sale, you get paid. Your organization makes a sale, you get paid. But you know what? You trained them. That's the way life works. And you can create a wonderful business. And I just think we have just a fabulous, fabulous opportunity. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the law firms. I'm going to read you something real quickly. Mr. Stonecipher had a special call this past week and with the law firms. And they had that once a month, the provider attorney law firm call, and he invited a lot of associates to listen in. because just one of the facets of what the Attorney Resources Department does in conjunction with the law firms is customer service and in bedside manner, if you will. And so a couple of years back, they instituted something in Attorney Resources called the WOW Factor, the WOW Training, W-O-W, WOW Training. And I'm just going to read you a little bit. The program focuses on seven WOW creeds: attentiveness, I promise not to only hear but listen; respect, I promise to treat each member as an individual who is deserving of my respect, attention, and highest level of professionalism; sensitivity, I promise to treat every member's problem as an important issue, no matter how big or small it may seem; compassion, I promise to communicate sincere concern for our members and express appreciation for their opportunity to help them share their burdens, lighten their load; communication, I promise to carefully explain the steps of service being provided for members during each call so that they finish the conversation fully confident with the attention their matter is receiving; value, I promise to look for ways to give members more than they ask and to create value for them with every call; ownership, I promise to handle each interaction with every member as if that experience will be the sole factor in determining whether a person keeps the prepaid legal membership or not. Now, how would you like your representatives, your law firm, to go by that creed? That's pretty incredible. Now, a mission statement was developed. We are dedicated to providing extraordinary legal services tailored to each member's needs and delivered with genuine respect, empathy, and concern that comes from the heart and surpasses members' expectations. That's pretty good for your service that you're offering out to the public, isn't it? I mean, service is our only business, folks. And I'll just give you this one quick story. One provider firm staff member shared this story with the administrator. This WOW stuff really does work. Let me tell you one of the stories from one of the lawyers. And this is just the lawyer relating the story. I kept this member on the phone for an extra few minutes. I just felt he needed some kind words to help him through his situation. And we finally said goodbye, and I think he felt better. I was choked up for a minute, but you know what? I felt good because what I offered him came right back and warmed my heart. That's pretty good from your product, isn't it? From your service. So, my opinion, we have the best company, both from an integrity standpoint, a staff standpoint, opportunity, staff, law firms. Couldn't be any better law firms, just the top, the best. I get to see them all throughout North America and work with them on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. They're just the best. And what about the need? Is there a need? I want to, if you'll indulge me, just a couple more minutes here and I'll be done. I want to just read you a couple quick things about the need. All right? Just articles. And I'm probably crazy with articles, and probably you've heard this on calls, but I can't help it. Everything I read is about prepaid. I mean, it has some prepaid legal connotation. I got two articles. Here's one of my thoughts. I think sometimes people think they know what their rights are. Would y'all agree at all? I mean, I used to think so. I used to think I knew what my rights were. Have you ever heard yourself saying, "They can't do that. That's unconstitutional"? Well, I just picked this one article because I use this sometimes with some of my group members, and because, you know, there's things I've found out in life that kind of hit me in the face that I didn't realize that people could do that they could do, i.e., a homeowners association. I had no idea the power. Have y'all had any of that experiences with a? Oh my God! Look into that someday. That's one of the things. I didn't think they could do that, but they can do it. But here's one of them that I use that I didn't know people could do this. And maybe everybody in this room understands people can do it, but I didn't know they could do it. So I just think it shows the need for advice, for help. Keep your assets active or your assets may vanish. Keep your asset or accounts active or your assets may vanish. When Valerie Golan went to visit her parents in March, the first thing she did was get into their bank accounts. She had no larcenous intent. The 32-year-old banker was trying to keep Pennsylvania from seizing her parents' savings. You may assume, It's safe to deposit money in a bank or buy stocks or other financial assets and then just leave them alone. It's not. Under most state laws, if you don't initiate a transaction or communicate with the financial institution about it, the account is considered dormant. And it's different in every state, but after 2 or 3 years of inactivity, your assets can totally be taken over to the state. Now, I had no clue. Now, I don't know, maybe some of you do or some of you not. And you know, I'm just saying, that's just one little tiny bit of minutia that I had no clue of. And I would go, no, they can't take your money. I opened the account. They can't take your money. Yes, they can. So all I'm saying is, we don't know what our rights are. Would y'all agree? We don't know. We're not experts in those fields. Let the experts do what they do so you can go back and do what you do best. Be productive. Sell. Whatever. Recruit. Whatever you do, let the experts do. My father, God love him, used to like to do things himself. And my biggest memory is of being on about a 20-degree Texas night. It was sleeting. And we had a plumbing problem. And I'm thinking, call a plumber. He wanted to do it himself. Me and him are out there getting frostbite, freezing, and we break the pipes. And we're unproductive for a couple days after that, and we finally call a plumber, okay? My whole point of that dumb story is, man, let the experts do what they do. You can make a lot more money doing what you do. Does that make sense? That's our whole basis in prepaid legal, in my opinion. Let the experts do what they do, and I'm happy to do that because Kroll's the expert, the law firms are the expert. I am not the expert. So, and I got one other quick story for you. Tony mentioned the will earlier. Article just came out. Have you had the living will talk? Has non-prepaid legal related article. Just a quick story. Surviving a stroke. 4 days after Steve's right brain stroke, I found out that he was under a DNR, in other words, do not resuscitate. The swelling in his brain was so great the doctors were afraid that it might trigger a series of other strokes which would most likely prove fatal. I overheard the neurologist say to another doctor out in the hallway that if it happened, Steve was under a DNR, do not resuscitate. Then I remembered that in the emergency room the night of the stroke, the neurologist asked him if he wanted to be resuscitated. Steve paused for a minute and then in his slurred speech said no. He couldn't even think straight at that point, so my daughters and I thought that that was an odd question for the doctor to ask, especially since he failed to explain to Steve just exactly what that meant. But there was so much going on at that time, we were so pressured, we didn't give it another thought. Little did we know that they put DNR on his chart, coded it on his wristband, so every time he was given any meds or any procedures, do not resuscitate was indicated. This so troubled me that the next morning I asked the hospitalist if the DNR meant that they wouldn't even try CPR on him if he needed it, and she said that was correct. I told them that I was Steve's healthcare agent and had the power of attorney for healthcare, and I wanted the DNR removed. She argued with me for several minutes until I told her that I knew what Steve's wishes were because just 3 months earlier we discussed all of this when we made up a new will, living will, durable power of attorney for healthcare, and durable power of attorney. I told him that I had the paperwork with me, and if he wanted to see it, he could. On that note, the doctor gave orders to remove the DNR and put Steve on full resuscitate. How invaluable that paperwork was, and little did we know that I would be using it soon. Why is it that most people procrastinate when it comes to drawing up a will or a power of attorney for health care? 3 months prior to the stroke, we were helping Steve's parents draw up their paperwork. Both of them were in ill health, and we knew their documents needed updating. They were reluctant, and they refused to hire an attorney because they were afraid of the cost. Is it the cost that stops you? Steve is still alive today and may not have been if we hadn't have done what we did that day because of Steve's parents. Does that make sense? Folks, it's happening out there every day. And we've got kind of the antidote, in my opinion. I mean, I don't want to get too over the top about this, but we can, you know, this is a life-saving business, life-changing business, because I take it so seriously. When I get to represent sharing my interest and knowledge and belief and passion about the prepaid legal membership and the opportunity, I just want to do the best I can. And I think that everything in the world is shaping up for us to just explode. Would y'all agree at all? I mean, just explode. We have the best training, best core training, best Super Saturdays, the APTs that were mentioned earlier. We want to help people learn about the product and learn how to handle this opportunity correctly. And if you do that, folks, you will explode. You'll be the biggest winner. Now, I got one last story to share with you. And I hope this, and again, I know I'm not a substitute for Harlan Stonecipher, but I have looked in his eyes. And I've got to relate one last story to you. And then we're going to go to his video. And this is a story I've done a few times, but it makes so much sense to me. Everybody knows who Microsoft is, right? Everybody know that Bill Gates retired last year, basically. And there's a guy named Steve Ballmer that had been with him for, I guess, almost four decades that is now the reigning king of Microsoft. But it's that story I want to tell you because I think of Harlan and Shirley when I think of this story. Steve Ballmer was a college friend of Bill Gates back in Harvard. Bill Gates dropped out. Steve Ballmer stayed in. Gates was from a kind of a wealthy family. Ballmer was not. Ballmer's family was always 150% into him having the best education possible because his family didn't. Okay? So he graduated Harvard and was going on to a huge, prestigious business college to do all kinds of other education. And in the middle of doing that, he got waylaid by Bill Gates. Bill Gates was starting a little company called Microsoft in Albuquerque, New Mexico. They were friends in college, and they had run-in buddies and all this kind of stuff. And so he talked Steve Ballmer into dropping out of this prestigious business college and coming to work for Microsoft. Okay. So after he was there for just a few weeks, and you know, and he didn't say this in the story, but you know his parents were probably, what, crazed. He sent him to Harvard, and he was going to the Stanford business, all this stuff, and he quit. And you know they were probably calling him about every 15 minutes. And just as a side note, has anybody ever called you and tried to dissuade you from prepaid legal? Because people will do that. People will steal dreams. And you know, if people let people do that, there would be no John Waynes, there would be no Beatles, there would be no Bill Gates, there would be, you know, because everybody tried to kill those people off. But anyway, back to the story. So you can imagine they were calling him, and Ballmer got really frustrated, so he quit. And in this article that talked about the story that he told at Bill Gates, he told the story at Bill Gates' retirement party, he said, "I quit." He said, "I called Gates, I quit." He goes, "I assessed my situation." He said, "Here I am. I quit this huge future, this great business college, my Harvard degree, all these things disappointed my parents, and here I am, a bookkeeper at a failing 30-man company." And he quit. But that night, Bill Gates convinced him to go to dinner. So Gates convinces Steve Ballmer to go to dinner. And over dinner, somehow, he talks him into staying. Now, the odds were against him staying. Big, huge college degree, all this education, his parents, failing 30-man company. How in the world did Bill Gates manage to talk him into staying? Well, in the article it says, and I can just imagine the night, because here's what I think happened. Bill Gates, in an article it says, Bill Gates told him about his vision again, that he envisioned a computer in every home and every household and every car and just everywhere. And back in those days, folks, that wasn't even language back then. Would you agree? I mean, nobody thought that way. They were still punching holes in cards at IBM. There was no desktop, no laptop, no home, nothing. Bill Gates convinced him that night of that vision that there is going to be a computer in everybody's home. And that was his vision. Now, I think he also probably looked in Gates' eyes. Because I looked in Harlan Stonecipher's eyes the first time I met him in the early part of 1995. And he looked me in the eyes and he said, "Anything I can do to help you, we are going to take this company far beyond what you can ever dream, and I just want to help you. Whatever I can do, I will do. Just let me know. We're here for you. We got the greatest product. And he sold me. He transferred his belief to me. And I believe Bill Gates transferred his belief to Steve Ballmer that night. Would you agree? Because Steve Ballmer stayed. Now, here's my big question. This is my close today, folks. Did Steve Ballmer make the right decision? Because you realize he's worth $14, maybe $20 billion today. And remember, it was a 30-man failing company he was working at as a bookkeeper. Didn't have any idea what was going to happen, but somehow Bill Gates convinced him. And after I read that story, I thought, man, that's Harlan Stoneside. Because not only did he convince me, he's proved it to me just by his business model. Because Dave talked about my income, and I honestly don't go around talking about my income. That was kind of against my nature. I never ran around in the printing business telling people what I made. Of course, I was not that proud of it, but, it's not really in my nature to do that, but my seven-figure-plus income is as earned. It's residual. My debit... And all that means is we've talked to a lot of people over the last 14 and a half years. We've sold a lot of great memberships, and we've helped a lot of people. I bet some people have gotten their wills done in living wills and durable power of attorneys. They are plugged in. They have access to the great law firms of North America that Prepaid Legal provide. And, man, I feel good about that. And all that means is that a lot of people are getting help. And you know what? Every time somebody pays their premium, the agents, the associates, and the associates up and down line, everybody gets paid, gets a little percentage of it. And my debit balance paid off by itself back in 2005, and I have a zero debit balance. Now, here's what that means. Tony talked about retiring, right? People ask me the same question, Tony. What? You could retire. Man, I've been retired since I started. Same. I've never heard you say that, but that's what... Because I told you I dreaded Monday morning prior. I have never, since March of 95, dreaded Monday morning. I look forward to it. And there is something to be said for a business, a company, that you can look forward to every day you get up and go do it. Have I had the best day ever every day? Probably not. But the worst day in Prepaid Legal is never even got close to what it was in the printing business. Because here's what I'll leave you with, folks. You can do all the due diligence in the world, but here's what I can tell you, man. Two things. The service works and the check's cash. Okay? The rest of it's academic. Now, I appreciate you letting me come today and stand in for Mr. Stonesarfer, although I certainly can't fulfill his shoes or whatever. I'm sorry he couldn't be here. He will be back, but I'm just proud to get to be here to talk to you folks. What a great group of people. You're going to explode this business. It's exploding all over North America. You heard that on the leadership call. Some areas are up by over 700%. And I'll tell you, folks, the best is yet to come. But I want to introduce, as I leave the stage... I want to introduce the founder of our company with a special video message for just you folks, Mr. Harlan Stoneside. Thank you.
Before we let Mr. Brown get out of here, he's got a plane to catch. He's got pilots waiting on the tarmac. And so because he's flying on Mr. Stoneciver's jet and Mr. Stoneciver's paying for the fuel, there are a lot of places we wanted you to see in Utah that you didn't get to, but this is going to be a roadmap of things you can see. So before you head east, if you head south, you're going to see Canyonlands, Zion, Bryce, all the incredible places in Utah. Just take a tour of Utah for a couple hours. Circle all of our great national parks. Go see all of them. Mr. Stoneciver's paying for it. You might as well go see them before you get out of here, okay?
I can't wait to tell him Dave said I could.
All right, now let's see Mr. Stoneciver.
fit what we do at Prepaid Legal Services. Now, on that subject, I want to ask Bronze Executive Director Doug Atwood, if Doug would stand up, I want him to be recognized, because Doug, as I understand it, you have a number of guests with you in the room today, all of them from Boise, Idaho. Now, that's my favorite kind of story that I like to hear about. Good work, Doug. I appreciate that very much. I want to apologize to all of you for not being there with you today. It's not Dave Hall's fault. He didn't mislead you. I had told him I would be there. But as most of you probably know, I had a little bit of an accident here a couple weeks ago, and I had some minor surgery that was performed on my back about 12 days ago. And the doctors wouldn't release me for travel. I met with them yesterday, asked them about it. Yes, I even told them that I knew a good lawyer that would help sign off a some type of statement that released them from liability, but they still wouldn't go for it. So I apologize for not being there. There's several in the room, though, that I do want to take a chance to take an opportunity to talk about. And the first person I want to congratulate is Ryan Burns. You know, Ryan has been the number three recruiter in all of Prepaid Legal. There's scarcely a leadership call. That's every week when I read off the top recruiters. There's scarcely one of those calls goes by that I don't read his name. And your RVP, Dave and Wendy Hall, they want me to tell you that they're proud of you. You know, the number one recruit in back in, yeah, let me back remind you that back in 2003, when Dave was number one recruiter, and he wants me to encourage you to hurry up and get your ring because he said he's tired of showing you his. But I'll bet he'll let you look at it a few more times, Ryan, but he doesn't want to encourage you to get your own ring. So seriously, Ryan, you're doing a great job. Stay at it. Recruit, recruit, recruit. Don't get it out of order. As you know, that's the secret to success in our business. There's also a company that's very close to getting your page reserved in the profiles of success. So Brett and April Cook and Randy Harrison, you're right there, and I look forward to reading your story in the profiles of success. Now, Dave Hall specifically asked that I congratulate and that I thank Mark and Leslie Udy for all the support that they provided in the Utah market, and I also want to thank you, Mark and Leslie, for the great job that you're doing. I also want to acknowledge and I want to thank Deanne Foster. As your new group vice president in Utah, Deanne has earned that position, and I know she'll do well in that position. We'll do the same with all the regional managers, Jeff Mullins and Ryan Burns, as well as all the CMCs in Utah, Scott Weaver, Deanne DeBell, Doug Youngberg, Mark and Leslie Udy, and Sean Horlitza, Roger Tully. And lastly, I want to thank just a couple more people. Thanks to Silver Executive Director Jack and Sally Gilbert. Thanks for raising Dave Hall. Let me tell you, as you already know, he's a remarkable success story. He's an inspiration to all of us. And it has to be a great feeling for the two of you to have a chance to work directly with Dave, who, by the way, I think as you probably already know, but he's the 104th member of our Millionaire Club. So, Dave Hall, 104th member of our Millionaire Club. And I know that, Jack and Sally, you're earning close to six figures while you're doing this, while you're working with Dave. And there's a lot of other senior citizens in America today that would like to be able to say that they're able to earn close to six figures as you are. So, again, congratulations. And the general, I especially want to thank Utah Attorney General Mark Shurtleff. Mark, I'm sorry that I couldn't make it and I couldn't be with you face-to-face. I want to tell you again what a leader you are to all of us. what an inspiration you are to all of us, not just at the state of Utah, but all across North America. All of our appreciated associates know who Attorney General Mark Shurtleff is, and they appreciate you very much. They want to thank you. I certainly want to thank you for your friendship first, but I also want to thank you for your passion and your commitment to making equal justice more than just an engraving on a wall. And I look forward to talking with all of you soon. Thank you for being here today.
All right. Our next speaker needs no introduction whatsoever. I mean, it's not that often that you have the Attorney General showing up at a network marketing meeting without someone running out the back door. And as Mr. Shurtleff can tell you, he's been a card-carrying member of Prepaid Legal Services for many, many years. And I owe him a little bit of an apology because, man, last night he just flat out got bamboozled at the barbecue. You'd thought two Japanese tourist buses collided with everyone that wanted to take their photo with him. And, I mean, he just got bombarded by people. And hopefully, you know, he'll be able to stick around just a few minutes afterwards for some of you to get those photos signed or get a photo opportunity if you didn't get one last night. But ladies and gentlemen, let's get the last few remaining minutes up to our Attorney General, Mr. Mark Shurtleff.
Hey, Dave, good to be with you today. Mark, thank you for being here. Appreciate that. And give our love and prayers to Mr. Stonecipher. I look forward to having him come out here soon, and I know he will. In fact, I just talked to him a week or so ago, and he was saying, I'm coming, and I couldn't believe he wasn't thinking, even planning on it. And had his doctor said no, yeah, I know he would have been here. But that was special for him to give that individual recognition to folks. And, Mark, good to have you in our state. Sorry you're going to have to leave so quickly, but, yeah, take a flight around here and come back and spend some money while you're here, if you would. Pays my medical bills, which if you heard, I went through had a heart, and after 11 surgeries, I'm better now. But y'all paid for my treatment through your taxes, so thank you very much for that. Appreciate it. Love to hear his accent. One of my dear friends, former Attorney General of Oklahoma, Mike Turpin. You know Mike. Many of you met Mike. He speaks a lot of things. He's got that same grade. I guess yours is Texas, his Oklahoma, but. Tell you what, he gave me advice once, Mike did. He said when he, after he was being Attorney General, he wanted to run for governor. I don't know about these AGs wanting to run for some other office. But but he gave me a little advice. He said, look, I'll tell you, my campaign, I got fired up. You're talking like that. He said, you know, my name is Mark Turpin, and my theme for my governor's race was, it's Turpin time. Yeah, I said it like that. It's Turpin time. He lost. I threw one of mine by him before I ran last year. I thought this was good. A state without Mark is like Superman without Clark. No. And by the way, for all those who might be videotaping this show up on YouTube, I'm just joking on some of this stuff, okay? I'm joking. I'm going to toss out a couple of... I came bearing gifts. I've got a lapel pin that said Special Agent, Attorney General's Office, and I actually got a little badge that, I think, Dave, you keep that in your driver's license, right? Right next to it when you pull open the driver's license? Just kidding. But it says you're a special agent. If you get one of these, and we have some in the back, the first to get out of here after it's over, after Dave's done. We're not passing them out until after Dave's done today, and whoever else. You're last, right? Okay. If you get back there, we got a couple hundred of those we can pass out to you. But I'm going to see if you can earn one here in a few minutes. Good to see you. Many of you, Tony, George, my good friend from Israel and Utah, Daniel Rona. Just great to be here today and share a few words with you about Prepaid Legal. Yes, I am a member. Have been since 2001. I've used it. Many of you same stories about lawyers in life. Well, I'm a lawyer, right? And I have 230 lawyers who work for me. We have the largest law firm in the state by far. And these lawyers are experts in every single field of law you might imagine. But obviously, since they're state lawyers, they can't help me with my personal legal problems, which aren't many, but, you know, everybody's got every now and then has a little need for help. Mine was that every single lawyer, how many lawyers in here? Man, look at that. We got to start recruiting. We got to start recruiting those guys, Randy. But every single lawyer, the first thing that starts happening, as soon as you get that the law degree, as soon as you're sworn in by the bar, everybody in your family wants you to do their will for you, right? Well, initially I said, look, my lowest grade in law school was trust in the state. You don't want me drafting your will, for number one. So I was grateful when I started working for the state, which prohibits lawyers from doing outside legal work if you work for the state. So I just said, hey, sorry, state won't let me do it. But I still kept, you know, my wife, get that will written. Well, we got it done, 2001. With prepaid legal. And it was good. You know, we've had a couple times. You know what, I get sued a lot. You know, I got just the other day, you might have read the paper, this felon, this lying lawyer. And they're not all liars, even though it sounds a lot the same. But he was a guy who was a fraudster, and we prosecuted and put him in prison. Now he's suing me for prosecuting him, right? Happens all the time. But usually they service at the state. One time I was out of state on AG business early on, process server, deputy sheriff came to the door, my wife answers, he serves her a complaint seeking, I don't know, $500,000 or something, and she about had a heart attack. She called me on the phone crying, Mark, I've just been sued. We don't have $500,000. What's this all about? I said, look, just call Randy Smart. Call the lawyers. And thank you very much. It was taken care of before I even got home. They were suing me because it was out of something I did as county commissioner and, you know, was clearly taken care of, but gave her a great peace of mind. And sometimes peace of mind is priceless. One final story. This is true, and so I guess it'll be on YouTube. But my daughter, who's now a very law-abiding citizen, at one time, she had a little bit of a heavy foot. You know how teenagers are, right? Little heavy foot. And then she somehow forgot to show up in court, so she had a warrant. What am I going to do, Daddy? Can you please come with me right over here to Sandy Court? I said, honey, if I show up with you as Attorney General, they will throw the book at you. Besides that, you know, I don't want to read about it and, you know, or see myself on YouTube or something tomorrow. So what am I going to do? Call prepaid legal lawyers. They'll help you out. And they did. She felt good. She had great legal advice. Went down there, took care of it. So everybody needs this service. Everybody needs it. And let me just tell you a little bit. You know, I'm a history buff. I was going to go and give you a big old long. I had an hour and a half or 2 hours. Is that what you gave me? They gave me 2 hours to come up here and talk. But I'm not going to do that. No, he gave me an hour. So I was going to talk a little bit about the history of this country because I want you to understand that there are great MLMs, direct sale companies in Utah. We are huge here. I think second only to Texas, maybe. And that's good as Attorney General because we understand that there's a difference between an illegal pyramid scheme that I go out and prosecute and a legitimate corporation that follows a business model, whether you want to call it multi-level marketing, direct sales, that do it right, that do it legal, highly regulated, and great, great corporate citizens in the state of Utah who hire a lot of people, pay a lot of taxes, pay a lot of income, and improve the quality of life for everybody here in Utah. So I love MLMs in this state and everywhere. But there's one I really get passionate about. You know, I can get a little bit passionate about juices and lotions and stuff. Not so much. My wife, maybe. Not taking anything away from anybody else, okay? But this is something that's dear to my heart, and I want it to be dear to your heart. Because I love this country. I'm serving as chief law enforcement officer of the state because I love this country and what we were based on. Two big principles that have kept and maintained us the great free country that we are. Even on our difficulties that we're facing today, we are the country that we are and will continue to be the country that has fed the world because of two things. One, a great pillar called the rule of law, that we are a nation, an empire of laws and not of men, based on an inspired constitution set up to protect everybody. And secondly, that second great pillar that keeps us the way we are is a free market, free enterprise. And in this country, we told people, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you come from, if you work hard and you're left alone by the government to innovate, to create, You can do anything you want. That is the American dream, and that is what made us the country that we are. Two great pillars, right? So what gets me inspired, what makes me excited, is that in prepaid legal, you are both of those great pillars. First of all, the pillar of justice and the rule of law. Now, in the Declaration, y'all know it says what? That we are endowed with certain unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All men are created equal. If you raise your hand for a law enforcement pin, right here, what's the next clause that comes right after life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? He raised his hand before I asked the question. Who knows that? Who knows it? Real quick, right back there. Yes, ma'am. Stand up. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Not quite. We're going to get there in just a minute, so save that answer. Governments are, yes, sir. Abraham Lincoln a little bit later. See? All men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and amongst those rights are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That governments are, here we go, right here. Set up. Yeah! Well, we're going to have a history lesson. We're going to be here for 2 hours. Who's got their pocket constitution? I'll have to pass those out. All right, way in the back. Thank you for bringing it. Stand up. Give us the next clause. That to secure. That's good. We'll stop right there. Dave, give that back to him. That to secure those rights, government are instituted among men. All right, thank you. And thanks for trying, the rest of you. You got close, but you got the principle right, and that is that the purpose of government, a constitutional government in this country, was not to give rights like England a king would do. Oh, I like you, you come from a special family, you may have certain rights. If you don't have those rights, I'll take them away. They can take away. But in this country, government doesn't give or take away rights, it secures those rights of equality. Now, one more. Constitution. We the people of the United States. Thank you, right there. George Wilkinson, God established justice. The very first thing we said, there are several things we said about forming a more perfect union. The first thing was establish justice. Who has a pen on that has a little symbol of justice? I think a lot of you might, huh? Lady Justice, is that what that is? Lady Justice. Justice is the concept of equality. Equal rights under the law. Equal opportunity in this country. Nobody is above the law. The rule of law is supreme. That is critical here. And what are you providing? What does it say on the wall of the I guess Harlan Stonecipher said it. It's written, it's engraved right now. Where? Supreme Court. I want to hear from all of you. What does it say?
Equal.
One more time. Equal. You have the opportunity every morning when you get up. Can't wait for Monday morning. Because what you're going to go is offer people that you love and care about, maybe people you don't even know, but because they're your fellow citizens, fellow Americans, your neighbors, you want to offer them what that Constitution and Declaration of Independence promised to every American. Equal justice under law. Now, when they wrote those great words, they weren't entirely true, were they? I'm just finishing a novel that comes out the 1st of November on Dred Scott, the infamous decision where the Chief Justice of the United States, after a black man, a slave, had the audacity to think that he could sue for his freedom in white man's court. He knew what the Constitution said. He couldn't read, but he had a master who went to court a lot, and he followed him there. He understood what that was promised in that declaration about equality. He understood what we said about justice. And yet he had no justice. But he wanted it through the courts. Now there was a neighbor who grew up near him in Southampton County, Virginia. Next plantation over. No one's known this until I did my research and it's in the book. Nobody knows Dred Scott, where he came from. I go to Southampton County, walk around cotton plantations, cotton farms, haven't changed much in 200 years. I ask about Dred Scott, they're like, who? This other slave was a man named Nat Turner. Neighboring plantation. They know Nat Turner because in 1830, Nat Turner decided he was going to free his people by going out and killing white men, women, and children, murdering some 55 or 60 of them with him. And of course, he was hung for his crime. Dred Scott is an illiterate slave, this little guy, 5'2", 100 pounds, soaking wet. He had the audacity to believe he could get justice walking between those pillars into a courtroom. Who was he to think that? He won his freedom before a white man's jury because they were following precedent that had been established over many years. That's once free, always free, because one of his second master, an army surgeon, took him north to a fort in Illinois and then north to a fort that's now Minneapolis-St. Paul. They were free territory. When he came back to the slave state of Missouri, the law in Missouri said once free, always free. He won his freedom. Can you imagine not feeling like a man, knowing that any minute you could be taken wherever you wanted, that your wife and children could be ripped away from you and sold on the auction block, to feel like a beast of burden with no rights that any white man has to respect, and to be free, finally. But politics held sway. A new Supreme Court in Missouri was elected, an anti-slavery Supreme Court, and they overturned the decision, despite the fact the president was there, and ripped away his freedom. But he didn't give up. He said, I'm going to the Supreme Court of the United States, where those words are written on the wall, and I want my justice there. Sadly, 1857, politics the way they were, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Roger Taney, could have just said, we deny your claim. But he decided he wanted to go beyond the case, be a little activist from the bench, so to speak. And he said, a black man is not a man and has no rights that any white man would ever have to respect. Crushing defeat. But was it? This young lawyer who wanted to run for national office, United States Senate, this brand new party that had just been formed in 1854, he read that decision and he was ticked. Abraham Lincoln went into the debates with Stephen Douglas. Stephen Douglas supported the decision. Abraham Lincoln said, this nation cannot survive half free and half slave. A house divided itself cannot stand. We need to do away with this institution. Because of Dred Scott and his persistence, Abraham Lincoln was elected president. We had emancipation, freedom. We've come a long way since then, haven't we? We've made a lot of progress. African American president of the United States. Love or hate his politics, that's an amazing thing. It's about time. But when it comes to access to court, frankly, we're not all still equal. We're not. Money can buy justice in this country. We see it time and time again. The great social economic divide that still separates us sometimes as a people. We've made progress in other areas, but there are still that, as we sit here today, people in this country who can't afford justice and aren't getting it, because they don't have access to qualified legal counsel. You're here to provide it to them. That is what's great about prepaid legal service. That's why I say you're providing to everybody the chance for equality, equal justice, equal access. What made this country what it is. And I just say God bless you and thank you for doing that. I really, really appreciate what you're doing. Now, got to wrap it up. Huh? I'm getting there. I'm almost done. Because what's important here also to understand is I've talked about that one great pillar, what you're providing to people. And it ought to just get you excited to thinking about it. I don't think of anything greater you could do. I get to come to work every day thinking I'm trying out there working to enforce the rule of law and to protect people. You get to do the same. And I'm glad you're there doing it. But what about that other pillar, the opportunity to succeed equally? Not. We say in this country, we do tell people that doesn't matter the color of your skin, national origin, your gender, your socioeconomic status, you can succeed in this country. And is that true across the board? Some people think that you got to have a certain degree, that if you are under certain circumstances, that you can't do it. what Prepaid Legal Service has done, the business model that you're offering out there, direct sales to people you love and care about and others, will tell everybody. Everybody in this room. Some of you may be here for the first time. I know these guys up here hate it when I say this, but I have to admit, not every single one in this room will be a success in this company. You know that. But the beauty of this is that every single person in this room listening to the sound of my voice right now can succeed beyond your wildest dreams if you simply apply the principles that they're going to teach you and all the people that recruited you into this opportunity will teach you. If you follow that and if you work hard, it doesn't matter what your IQ is, what your college degree is, where you went to school, what the color of your skin is, you can be amazingly successful, and that is the American dream. All right, so get excited about that. And you just keep doing better. When I came in office 2001, we had to set some goals. What were we going to focus our efforts on? What were the biggest crimes facing Utahns and Americans as well? We decided to tackle methamphetamine because we led the nation in meth labs per capita, unbelievably. We've had a 98% reduction, I'm proud to say, in the last 7 years. But, but ID theft was one of, we only had four primary goals when we came in office to tackle. Second one was ID theft. Fastest growing crime in the country. Billions of dollars in personal and corporate losses to identity theft. People didn't know where to go when they were victims. Once they became victims, what do? We knew in law enforcement, well, we can, you know, we're about catching the bad guys. And so we started developing databases where we collect information and start sharing patterns of ID thieves. We can start teaching you how to protect yourselves, teaching you all the dirty tricks of the bad guys who are going to steal from you, from the low-level dumpster divers, we call them, who go through your trash, to the sophisticated guys online with their ways of trying to obtain your personal financial information, trying to teach people how to be safe. One thing we couldn't figure out how to do was, once you've been victimized, how do I help you? How do you get back what you've lost? Often a lot of money. Very importantly, your good name. And they were particularly going after our seniors who their whole lives had worked hard, who went through times like the Depression, who struggled and saved and were frugal in what they did and built up their credit. Maybe not a lot of money, but a good credit for their later years. And those who their identity thieves are going after to take advantage of what they say is gullibility, but what I say is faith and trust in their fellow man. But you take away someone's good name. My grandmother yesterday said, Mark, you protect your good name. You know, it's worth more than diamonds and rubies. It says that in a good book, too, in Proverbs. I like hers, but let me read what it says in Proverbs. I got somewhere in here. These are great little tools, right? Sign up to follow me on Twitter, too, if you don't mind, and Facebook. I'm there, too. A good name, Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Well, with prepaid legal and identity theft, you can have both. Right? Absolutely. See, Heart and Stone Cipher, probably Mark Brown, all these great smart people who are providing this great service, and also seeing a need that people were facing early on before anybody else. And I remember that was, I was in Las Vegas, probably 2002 speaking, and that, they, Kroll was there and just starting to really develop this. They were so excited, and I was like, thank you! Because people want me to take care of everything, and I can. I'm just one guy. I got big shoulders. I can probably carry Dave Hall on my back. But I, now that I'm walking again, but tell you what, thank you. Please give my thanks back to Harlan and everybody else for seeing the future and seeing that people could have a protection in place to save them the thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours it was taking them to try and get back their good name to reestablish their credit. Identity Theft Shield is there. And again, to have that insurance, that peace of mind, is really priceless. I'm going to close on this. I told you about Dred Scott. I told that story to Heart and Stone Cipher some time ago. And told him I was writing a book about it. Writing a novel. Coming out November 1st, here's just a little preview copy. But I was really stalled on this, and I've thought about it for years. And I was asking myself, about this Dred Scott. Who was he? How did he do this? By the way, back in those days, in 1844, when he first filed suit, there was no NAACP. There was no ACLU. How did a black slave, illiterate, possibly think he had to get a lawyer? How did he get access to courts? You know who it was? He had to have white help. He had help from family and friends. What's amazing about this story was that after he'd been sold away, the little kids who he grew up with, he was like an older brother to them. Tells you something about the man. They loved Dred Scott. They moved to St. Louis. They started marrying into good families. A couple of lawyers, as a matter of fact. And it was the Blow family, the Peter Blow family, the children, now married into society, one a sheriff, one a lawyer, another married into another, that they were able to help him out. It's a story of white folks in that day and age stepping up and helping up another person to experience equal justice under law. We're all in it together now. So when I was thinking about that, now let me just read what I put, what's going to be, this is the introduction dedication that's in the book. Type is already set. So it's there. If I might share this, it's kind of a surprise. I told some of you last night about this. In 2002, I met an extraordinary man named Harlan Stonecipher, founder and CEO of Prepaid Legal Services, and was invited to speak at a conference or convention in Oklahoma City. As Attorney General, I had just designed the seal, the office. If you get one of these coins, you'll see on the back is the seal. Looks a lot like that pin y'all wearing. Lady Justice holding up the scales of justice, indicating equality, blind justice. I designed that seal with one word motto, justice. And I was pretty intrigued by a company offering legal insurance founded on the principle emblazoned on the front of the United States Supreme Court, equal justice under law, but made real in people's lives by offering all of its members direct access to representation by the top law firms in the country. I was so impressed. I said, I got to meet this man. Could I possibly meet Harlan Stonecipher? I wanted to find out, who is this guy who had the audacity to think that he could provide equal justice to everybody, regardless of race, creed, color, national origin, socioeconomic status. He invited me down and got to give a little speech. And after the speech, he invited me up to his booth where he was sitting with Shirley, a beautiful lady. And I kind of watched. And as people go across getting like gold or something, rings, platinum, gold, diamond, whatever. A couple of Hummers over there on the side. Full of cash. I'm like, whoa! People can be really successful in this company. But I was marveling that many of the top producers were actually minorities, disproportionate to the population. As young African American man after another went by and was receiving these top honors and awards for their success. And so I just thinking about my book or about Dred Scott, I asked Harlan about that. So why is that? He got very emotional. Two reasons, he says. First of all, I think that many of them have experienced for themselves, their families, their loved ones, their ancestors. They know what it's like to not have equal access to justice. And they've experienced sometimes that sadly money buys justice and they didn't have it. So they're highly motivated. They know what it's like. And he said, second of them, many are so hungry for success. Many have come from difficult, difficult circumstances where they dropped out of school early. They don't have the degrees. They can't go apply for the jobs where they have to have a degree or whatever. But they know how to work hard. And given an opportunity, and they're applying the rules and the program, and they've been successful beyond their wildest dreams. And I noticed that he was crying. He's a very emotional, very man. He loves this company, but he loves the people who are part of this company and the people he knows you can still serve. He thinks about them all the time. That's what motivates him. He says, I'm so proud of their success. I'm so grateful to have been inspired by God. He's a very spiritual man. To build a company that's based on the true principle promised in the Constitution, of equal justice for all. So I came back to Utah. I was inspired. I was fired up. I can't go out there as Attorney General and sell prepaid legal. That'll have to be for the future, I guess, right, Dave, or something, I don't know. But I tell you what, I decided that I better get busy and tell this story. That's what I say here, how a story of a man who, with the help of the grown children of his first master, who loved him and risked losing everything, fighting against the most powerful and wealthy slave-owning families in the United States, all the way to the United States Supreme Court. So I want to share my hero, Dred Scott, with the world. And I say here, his quote is the story of an undying crusade for equal access to justice. I therefore dedicate this novel to my friend and mentor, Mr. Harlan Stonecipher, who today tirelessly crusades for the same. And you are his soldiers in that fight. Thank you. God bless you.
Before you get out of here, we got something for you real quick. All right. Real quick, before we let Mr. Shirtlift go, many of you were at the barbecue last night and got the opportunity to talk to him and get your pictures taken. And this weekend is his family reunion, and he has taken time away from his family to come and be here with us so that, you know, we could hear from him and experience the incredible energy that he has for justice. And so we snooped around trying to find the right thing for you. We called Jessica, your office. We pried every, you know, rock up we could to find out, what does Mark like that we can do? And you know what they said? He likes spending time with his family. I'm like, oh, great. That's the one thing we're taking from him this weekend. So we've got you Movie Night Out gift bag. So we've got all your munchies for the movies and stuff in here, and hopefully enough movie tickets for everyone in your family to get into the movie theater. Also, all in a big popcorn bucket from the movie theater. You're just going to have to sneak everything in the movie theater. So there you go. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. By the way, since you're a member of Prepaid Legal, that's all covered under Title V if you get caught. For all the accomplices, Title V, we're all covered. All right, couple quick things before I announce next month's guest. Now, man, I just get goosebumps thinking about next month's event. But this week, an event coming up that you do not want to miss. Mr. Chris Hughes will be doing our training on Wednesday night right here in this building. Okay? Hey, guys, another Millionaire Club member, one of my favorite trainers in all of Prepaid Legal, another one of the incredible Hughes Brothers success stories. He will absolutely take your business to another level. But we've got a special bonus on Wednesday night for you. As a lot of you know, when you buy tickets for the Super Saturday each month, whether you're buying them for you or your team or the guests you're going to recruit, we put your name in the hopper for a cruise that we're giving away at the end of the year for you and a spouse or companion or something like that. And we've done that for every Super Saturday. So if you buy a ticket, you get a ticket in for the cruise. If you buy five tickets, you get five tickets in there, even if you sell the other four to your team or give them away or recruit people. But we're going to do a special thing for this Wednesday. Everyone that shows up to the training on Wednesday will get one more ticket in for the cruise on Wednesday. That's the only, we've never done that ever before. We may never do it again, but you should be showing up to see Mr. Chris Hughes anyway. You shouldn't ever have to be bribed with a cruise. But we just want to up the odds for people that are doing the proper behavior. And so Wednesday, you can get your name in for that cruise. That's the first thing. Second of all, as was mentioned earlier, we like discounts. And not everybody's aware of one of the big discounts that we actually have
here in the state of Utah, which is called the Fast Pass. And what it basically does is it gets you into the trainings and the briefings for almost half price. And you can get that at utahppl.com. Now, that's good at the Sandy briefing and the Provo briefing and the core trainings on Wednesday night. But it literally will save you a bunch of money. If you're one of those people that says, look, I'm committed to the process. I'm going to be here a year from now, and I'm going to go to the events and learn how to do this business. Why not save yourself some money? Not everyone was aware that that was available. Some people were like, man, I've been coming for 3 months. Why didn't anybody tell me that I could have been saving 20, 30, 40 bucks a month? You know, on going to the events. Now we're just making sure. If you want it, great. If not, hey, that's fine too. The meeting holders make more money if you don't have it. So it's just out there for you. But now we get to jump into next month's Super Saturday guest. And I'll tell you right now, this guy is one of my best friends in Prevailing. Maybe he and I just relate so well to each other because he doesn't have a high school diploma either. Maybe that's just why we clicked right away. But I can tell you right now, pound for pound, per square inch, there is nobody in prepaid legal that is better than Mr. Joshua Denny.
California, Orange County, please give a warm welcome for Platinum Executive Director, six-figure ringer, Mr. Joshua Denny.
Thank you. It's interesting that when I was growing up, I never really believed I would live past 18. You know, I was kind of running down the wrong path, you know, making all sorts of bad decisions. I dropped out of high school, you know, I was involved with gangs, drug abuse, all sorts of crazy stuff, and I was kind of comfortable with that, and I ended up getting arrested for my lifestyle. It was terrible, but it's interesting how sometimes our biggest blessings come in rappers like that. You know, and coming out of that, that was just the biggest change, and everything changed for me in my life. And I said, you know, I'm going to live life right. And I started working in this machine shop. I was cleaning floors for $9 an hour. I commuted, and I just wanted to live life right. But I remember about a year into it, and I'm cleaning the floor, and, you know, I remember looking up going, is this it? You know, is this what I survived all this stuff for? I mean, survived being shot at, survived all these crazy things in my life. And I'm thinking, did I live? Is this it? And I really started actively seeking something, and that's when Prepaid Legal came into my life.
So we're headed over to the machine shop where I used to commute every single day. And it represents to me a beginning, I guess. Fuel also. Fuel, because I knew when I was going there, I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to do that my whole life. It said, if you forget where you come from, you're on your way back. So I never want to go back. There you are, bro.
Hey, buddy.
What's up? This is Joe. Joe Lamelli, great guy I used to work with.
The change has been so magnificent, you know, in terms of the options that we have. I have no restrictions. I mean, time freedom is so valuable. A lot of people have time freedom, but they don't have the money to do what they want to do. But with Prepaid Legal, you can accumulate the cash flow to do it. And we get to go hang out at the lake, you know, with all your friends on you know, Wednesday afternoon when a lot of people are working or coming home from work. You know, we're hanging out, enjoying life, designing our life instead of complaining about our life. And, you know, I'm able to go skydiving. I mean, that's free. I mean, it's pretty free when you're skydiving. You're falling through the sky. And it's pretty neat. Do crazy stuff, bungee jumping. I like active things. And I like to do kind of stuff like that. Taking flying lessons. I'm able to learn how to fly. I'm doing jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, kickboxing. I'm able to do the martial arts that I've always wanted to do. Hitting the gym. Being able to work out without, you know, and eating the right stuff, organic foods. So those kind of options. And there's no restrictions on travel, no restrictions on what you can or cannot do. To be able to live that kind of lifestyle and have nice stuff that lasts a long time, looks nice, you know, other people go, oh, wow, that's cool. And you know, a nice vehicle, you know, a nice car where, you know, it's got all the great safety features, but it's sweet to ride in. Well, this is the Lexus, the LS460L. Executive package, actually the presidential model. There's only two of these in the country. Pretty unique. Can I take a look inside? It's all actually
This is suede leather on the inside, all camel suede leather, so it's been all custom ordered. It actually took 3 months to get this automobile. It's got an executive package in the middle. In fact, let me show you from the other side. The back seat. I mean, if I push the front seat forward, and one of my buddies will drive, because he likes to drive, and I drive a little too fast. It's better for me not to drive. But I'm able to sit in the back of this car. The footrest goes all the way up. And so I'm able to almost be like in a lazy boy. It has a massager. This thing massages me. Vibrates as I'm driving down the road. It's amazing to have a little laptop tray. So, I can be making my phone calls, calling people, setting appointments, and doing my business while we're driving down the road. It's got Bluetooth, so I can be, I don't need to have a phone next to me. I can just talk into the car. I can control the radio from the back seat. It's air-conditioned seats. It's got 7.1 digital surround sound. The movie theater the screen comes down, and 7.1 surround sounds like I'm in a theater, in this car. People know when it's going down the street. It's kind of nice. But now it's like it doesn't matter. The cars, the stuff doesn't matter. What matters to me is the people, the relationships. To me, that is so valuable. And that's what we have the ability to do here with Prepaid Legal Services. We truly have the ability to impact people's hearts and leave a legacy. And to me, that's everything. And really, I can't think of a better way to live life.
My association with Josh has changed everything in my life.
Just anybody that knows him, just you fall in love with him.
The relationship we have, it's really the business is secondary. It's more personal love.
When I first met Josh, he was just a figure. I heard over the phone because I got started back in Illinois. And when I first started working with him, I had the privilege. He was coming out to Illinois and helping us out there. And basically, ever since then, he's been my coach. He's kind of been my mentor.
He has truly been an inspiration, a mentor to me. I just couldn't think of anybody better that I could have been introduced to this company. His belief in me gave me the ability to believe in myself.
Saw a lot of him and me. And I knew he had that ability to achieve that, and then I can be able to achieve it as well. So he's very he's an inspirational person.
Before, I saw no light at the end of the tunnel, 85 hours a week, got my own bed at the hospital. Now, we have plans investing in a plane together. We're looking at a community where we actually have airports. We're able to travel to the Bahamas. We've been to Hawaii several times together. My whole life's changing.
The energy that he gives you when he talks to you, the support he gives you, it's an incredible guy.
It's breathtaking, it's humbling. You go to a convention, people want you to sign something for it. Like you're a celebrity. I'm just a guy living my life. But because you're on this path of personal development, and because you truly want to give up to others, you've impacted their life, truly. You've reached into them, you've inspired them, and you've pulled out from them something they didn't think that was there. Like me. I didn't think this all this stuff was there. I didn't know it. Until someone reached into my heart and said, look, let me show you. Let me teach you. Let me truly walk you across this bridge of a place of not knowing if you can achieve success, to a place where now it's normal. Now it's everyday life. Now it's, oh, of course I can. Now you can go back over that bridge and grab others that are waiting on the other side and pull them across too. And that's what this environment fosters. It's truly a community. When you're around it for a while, you realize that people truly do care about you. They want to help you. And that's what happened for me. And that's the only reason I'm here, because of what I've seen, what I've heard, what I've read, and who I've associated with. You don't really get where you come from, and where you are now, and the choices it takes, and the commitment you made, and just the action. You decided to take action, and then you went for it. You didn't give up. It was all worth it. You saw where you wanted to be, and you never gave up on that, and that's why you're here. You're here today. It's cool to have a bunch of friends here, brothers here.
It really just goes to show that no matter where you're at in life, when you're around with that serious thing, there's the most totally committed going on way, going on way, making all the bad decisions that we've made in life. And just really goes to show that at any given time, you reach your bottom when you stop digging.
Yeah.
Really.
That took a while for us, didn't it?
Yeah.
It just goes to show that no matter where anybody is in life,
can just turn that around, and you can use that energy, whether it's negative energy, positive energy, it doesn't matter, it's energy. And you can use that energy in any direction that you want to go, and you know, I mean, you know, no wonder why you've been so successful in prepaid, because I mean, you've been 100% committed in any which way direction you're going. And I think this is just the beginning, you know, of your potential for where you're going to be, because basically you just kind of woke up, I would say 7 years ago. You know, you just got on the right path, and now here you are, and it's just 7 years later, basically a baby. And I can't wait to see what happens next. I'm proud of you.
My main goal is, after someone sees this, and they watch this, and they see that I'm just an example of what they can do. You know, I'm no better than you. No better than anybody else. I'm just a guy who decided to change his life. And that ability lies within all of us. Truly. And when you pick up on that, that's a revolutionary thought. It was for me. And you start reading the books. You start listening to the people. You know, you start watching things differently. You start associating with other people, the people that have what you want. You'll get there. And so I want you, when you leave here, know that it's possible for you. Not only is it possible, you can do it, really. I mean, here I am, machine shop guy, $9 an hour, didn't graduate high school, sitting in a million-plus-dollar home with all sorts of fancy stuff. Why? Not because I'm better. Because I decided to make a change. I worked my prepaid legal business. I didn't deviate. I showed up at the weekly meetings. I showed up at the weekly trainings. I showed up at the conventions. I didn't miss them, and I followed my mentors. I read the books. I listened to the tapes, and I applied. That's it. Anybody can do that. I know you can.
I don't know if you guys just feel the love that Josh Denny puts off. You can't meet this guy and not just absolutely love him to death. And, I mean, here's a guy that, and he'll probably tell his story when he gets here, but made a lot of bad choices in teenage years. You know, being involved with gangs and different things like that. Was at a machine shop making $9 an hour and found prepaid legal. Now today he makes hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, lives in a beautiful home, drives cars that are worth more than some of our houses, has an incredible life, but when you get to hang around him, you'll find out that none of that means anything compared to his friends in prepaid legal. I mean, I'm there hanging out with him, working with him for a solid week, and you know, when I showed up there, he's like, "No, Dave, you ain't staying in this bedroom. You're in king size special bed." He's like, "You're in my room. I'm going in the guest bedroom." And like on his dresser, he has three different Rolexes. It's like they're $15,000 watches a piece. He's got just three of them laying out there. I'm like, just looking at the lifestyle, going, how does a guy this age do this that never graduated high school, and you know, was in a machine shop just a few years ago today? But then you hang out with him, go to the events with him, and you see the hundreds and then thousands of lives that he's touched just through his servant leadership. And it's very self-evident why he's having the success that he's having. And I'm telling you, if you get the opportunity to be here next month and to hang out with him and just spend a few hours with him, you'll see it also. And it'll become very clear the things that we probably need to adapt in our life. And one last quick tidbit about Mr. Denny. Some of you remember a few years ago when Mr. Stonesifer's son died in a plane crash. And you think of all the people on the earth that Mr. Stonesifer knows. There's a lot of people out there. But at the funeral, he had to pick 6 pallbearers. And one of those people that he chose was Josh Denny. I can say incredible things about Josh Denny, but what does that say about what Mr. Stonesifer feels about this man that's going to be here next month? That he would be one of the final 6 men to carry his son. That's the type of respect this man has from our founder. And you guys, you look at this room, You can't all bring a guest and fit in here. That's just the way it is. You guys realize from last month to this month, we doubled. We doubled, and I'm telling you right now, I'm worried about what's going to happen next month. I really am. I can promise you this much, we didn't print enough tickets today. But we will when we run out of tickets, and I'm just telling you we're going to. When we run out of tickets, we'll keep the names of the people who bought the tickets, and we'll get them to you at the weekly trainings. We'll get them to you. As you know, for every ticket that you buy, you get your name in the cruise. We also have the special that we've always had. You get 5 for the price of 4 if you get them today here. And for everyone that does decide to get 5, you will get another free ticket to the social event that we'll do on Friday night, the barbecue social event, which I can tell you right now will be absolutely priceless to be able to hang out with him on a Friday night in a casual atmosphere. And again, get your picture taken with him that night. Then show back up on Saturday and get him to autograph it personally to you so that you can hang it on your wall and tell his story that you knew him, you met him as another successful person in prepaid legal. Ladies and gentlemen, tickets available at the back. We'll see you September 19th in front of Mr. Josh Denny.